time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hey, this is Doug McCary at SWAT Radio, and we are live. This is not a repeat of one of our best broadcasts. It's not a guest interview that you heard over the last 2 weeks, but we're live again today. It would be me and Brad, but Brad isn't in the studio right now. He is on his way here. He should be here shortly.
Not starting off the new year, right?
He's attributing this to the bomb cyclone. I think everything in the last 2 weeks, that whether you've been late or had a problem, I called Delta Airlines today about something, and we're having weather problems. Have you heard about the bomb cyclone? So everything is being attributed to the bomb cyclone. Cody, have you heard about this thing? Yeah. Have you heard about this bomb cyclone thing? I never heard about those two phrases together. Yeah. You know, have you ever heard about them before?
No.
Until this past week. Obviously, you know, we got a lot of bad weather here, cold weather. I burned more fires in my fireplace in the last week than I've done the last 3 years. Huh. So we went through a lot of firewood. In fact, one day earlier in the week, I went out looking for firewood, maybe it was last weekend, and every place was sold out. All the grocery stores that normally carry it, they were all sold out because everybody freaked out because they saw. And I think they even called off work and stuff downtown. And I think I saw a post of yours on social media that said, what?
Yeah.
was that true? Did you're like, they called off the city, like everything shut down, right?
I went at 7 in the morning to go to the YMCA, like I usually do, and the parking lot was empty. And I found out that they closed early because of freezing conditions. And I was just like, oh.
And like, I think you quoted that, like, in Virginia, you would have to go out if there was like 5 feet of snow. You'd still
there
have
were
to
times
go.
Where I had to work in the middle of a blizzard. So
that's funny. Well,
I read an article this weekend where it talked about, you know, bomb cyclones and super moons and all these terms we have. And back a couple years ago, it was just cold.
Well, listen, there's a lot of terms. Let me give you some terms here. Let me test your weather trivia. Do you know what bombogenesis is?
I did not take meteorology.
Okay, so a bomb cyclone draws colder air from the north, which blasts areas in the northern hemisphere with icy temperatures.
Okay.
All right. There's also a thing called thundersnow. You know what thundersnow is? It's thunder and lightning during a snowstorm. Have you ever seen that?
I've seen that before.
I've never seen that. That's wild. But basically, it takes all the hazards of a thunderstorm and puts them in with the decreased visibility and the ground accumulation of a snowstorm, which really makes for fun.
Wild.
And then hoarfrost, H-O-A-R, frost, is heavy frost that lines plants, trees, and other things when the air is below freezing and the atmosphere is moist. And a polar vortex, I'd say that three times fast. A polar vortex is an area of low pressure circling the north and south poles. The vortex around the North Pole is strengthening. Even last week, it was getting stronger, blowing more Arctic air down where we were. The result of it all was this winter storm. You know what this name was? Grayson. I didn't even know they named winter storms.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But it was Winter Storm Grayson, which they said brought over 20 inches of snow to Maine. In New Hampshire the other night, it was a wind chill of 100 below zero.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that that's insane? Well,
my parents sent me like a little screenshot of the weather there.
Yeah.
It was 10 degrees, but with the real feel wind chill, it was minus 11. So
yeah. Minus 11 sounds warm compared to minus 100.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the blizzard conditions were all over the Northeast, even in the South, even in South Carolina, you were seeing some of that. And I guess people were rather safe than sorry here. They said, we're going to just shut everything down. But you know what was weird to me is it was freezing, but it was raining. I thought if it was freezing, you'd see snow. You know what I'm saying?
That That was kind of the joke that I was saying, you know, like it's not freezing conditions if it's raining.
Yeah, but it was raining and it was 32 degrees outside. And so in the wind chill was colder
sometimes,
than that.
Sometimes it like freezes and like it melts and it becomes rain. So that might have been one of the cases there.
Well, it was.
Did you see any of the videos of like the beaches up in the northeast around Cape Cod and everything? The waves.
Oh,
it looked
like
it was slush, like when they were breaking it.
It was wild. And what was even more wild was in Boston, you saw the flooding. I mean, like, so you got snow, but then you got flooding downtown from the water coming. And I think even here at the beach, the water, the waves were coming in and it eroded some of the beach. And even they had a house that, you know, collapsed like during Matthew a couple of years ago. A lot of those houses down at St. Augustine did that. But it was bad. And the other thing that was bad is there were people who were on planes, cruise ships, and everything else that got stranded. There were people who flew over from China. So they'd been 14 hours on an airplane, and then they land in JFK, and they can't get to a gate. And they don't know how to get them from the plane because the wind chill is so cold. Yep. They can't take the chance on people getting frostbite and obviously having lawsuits from how they get them there. So they were stranded for 6-7 hours out on the tarmac after a 14-hour flight. And that's pretty bad.
Talk about travel horror stories.
Yeah. But I don't know how the people get mad at anybody at the airport, because how can you can't. You can't do anything about that. It's like people used to crack me up. They'd get mad at people because of weather cancellations. You can't change the weather. That's not the airline's fault. And I guess they thought they should have been better prepared to handle a bomb cyclone, whatever that is. So anyway, if you're listening today, we're glad to be back. And at least I'm glad to be back. Cody, are you glad to be back?
Glad to have everything back to normal.
Yeah, back here live. And we are going to take some calls later. We're going to be talking a little bit today about Ecclesiastes, a time for everything, chapter 3, even a bomb cyclone. Yeah. There's a time for everything. And so when Brad gets here, we're going to revisit some things of 2017 and kind of talk about looking forward into 2018. But as we think about 2018, I just want to get you to think about something for a second. I want you to think about, as you look back over 2017, from January to December, did you grow closer to the Lord in your relationship? Did it stay kind of where it was? Or did you recede a little bit? Really, the thing for all of us is, the hope is that in our relationship with God, we're always growing. There's always peaks and valleys. It's a process for us. But the hope is throughout the year, God grew us closer to himself so that we become more dependent upon him, more aware of his presence, and more ready to do his will. And that's my hope and prayer for all of us, is that the church would rise up. And this year, 2018, we would be more prayerful. We would spend more time in the Word. And, you know, I have to tell you, Cody, earlier today, and I want to get into this a little bit with Brad. This was on a financial network. This had nothing to do with a Christian show. This was a financial news stock show that was talking about the mental health of people in America. These doctors just released a study about the dangers of iPhone addiction. They just released it. I mean, today, I was watching this morning, and they were talking about how damaging it is to the youth of the country, and how they want Apple to step up and do something. These investors, all these people who have invested in Apple, these big company investors, are asking Apple to step forward and do something to help curb this this mental health problem that we're seeing. And I just thought it was interesting that the host of the financial news show, he's on there a lot. He was saying, you know what the problem is? The problem is not with Apple. The problem is that the parents don't monitor and don't supervise their children who have these iPhones. They just let them have them rampant, and you see it everywhere. I mean, you know, I have teenage daughters, and my teenage daughters are the only ones probably at their school that don't have an iPhone in the eighth grade and ninth grade. I mean, think about that. The iPhone, you know how much an iPhone cost?
Way too much.
Yeah, it's like $900,
$800. Right? Minimum.
Minimum. Right? And so you've got all these high schoolers walking around with little mini computers that they can connect with one another on social media, discreetly, covertly.
Yeah.
In ways. They've got so many apps now that they can communicate without people even knowing. And they're saying these are the things that have contributed to a lot of the problems with the mental health in the high schoolers and the middle schoolers. And you see bullying takes on a 24/7 aspect now. It's not just during the time frame where school is going on. Now you can be bullied online out of school. So they're saying this is creating a lot of problems. And so the interesting thing is that the Apple stock took a hit today because of this report coming out. And so, we're gonna come back from the break, and we're gonna talk about it. And Brad just walked in, so I'm so excited that we can go ahead and go to break, so I can give Brad a hug, and we can all do a group hug and come back and talk about this very issue. So, can you go ahead and cut us to a break?
Yes, I can.
That's awesome. So, if you want to call in today later, I'm going to spend some time visiting with Brad. But after that, you can call in at 904-401-1413. Outside of Jacksonville, 844-777-7928. You can shoot us a question at ask@swatradio.com. You can call in after the next segment, because Brad and I, we have to catch up. All right? And then we'll look forward to getting back with you after the break on SWAT Radio. We're live today.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Doug, it is good to be here, buddy.
Bradley.
Sorry I kind of slid in a little late.
The team is all back together.
It was the cyclone bomb or bomb cyclone. Okay, so you totally informed me. Maybe I was just completely clueless. I thought it was a cold front. That's what we used to call those things.
It was a bomb cyclone, man. Yeah,
I'm not trying to be unsympathetic. But by the way, and you did say, hey, we are actually live today.
Yes.
Now, I'm a little concerned when somebody hears this, you know, a month from now when we have to do a repeat of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're...
Today is
this
what?
Is the first time in like 2 or 3 weeks because we took off. By the way, a lot has happened in the last few weeks. I was sick all last week, which was not fun. I had this stomach bug that ripped through our family. I think we had 14, 15 people in our home. All but one got the vomiting virus. Everybody but one.
That was a fun house to be
around. Oh, my gosh. It was, I probably shouldn't say this on air, but, you know, I'm not a vomiter, you know, mm-hmm. that I just don't throw up. very much. And so sometimes that's bad because it stays in your system longer, mm-hmm. I think, you know, when you do that. But anyway, it ripped through us. And, man, you know, the only thing I told you coming in, the only thing I did, I was in the bed and on the toilet all week.
Well,
you know,
so
it was just terrible.
Obviously, I saw you yesterday and saw Lori. And as you guys were sharing that, I realized, you know, you ever say things sometimes and about 30 minutes later you go, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
And I was kind of almost in a way bragging that we didn't have any kids at home this weekend.
Yeah.
And yet you guys had 15 kids in your yeah, 15 yeah. people in your house. Yeah. Not only that, but you were sick on top of that.
That's kind of like somebody.
Lori, I'm sorry up front if I caused any. Caused you to stumble. If you were envious of Vicky and I,
that's kind of like when Rachel was getting her heart transplant, Abby was throwing up everywhere, and somebody goes, oh, yeah, we're getting ready to go out of town on vacation.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
I mean, it's just not what you want to hear, but yeah, actually, exactly. It's all good. We're back, and, you know, this winter storm, how did you fare pretty well through it?
Yeah. We did. We didn't really
get any leaks. Did you through your roof?
No leaks. Although, you know, as I was driving in listening to you and Cody, I was thinking about the only issues we have in our house. And I was sharing this with somebody yesterday. Everybody, what do you talk about right now? Well, wow, it's really cold. And when you meet with somebody, man, this weather's great. You know, it's like, I do want to go deeper. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. But, you know, several years ago, probably 8-10 years ago, we replaced the windows in our house.
Yeah.
But in our master bedroom, we did not do the windows there because I had a plan to do some French doors out into our backyard.
So it's still cold there.
So I still have the 1950s windows.
Hey, you beat me because we only got 1970s
well,
in our
good.
House. But it still gets a pretty good air leak.
Neither one of those were any good. Trust me, when you go to the back of my house, the temperature drops by about 10 degrees.
Isn't it wild? I mean, you walk around on the floor back there, and we have tile floor, so it's really cold.
Oh, yeah. Well, but the flip side is in the summer it's 10 degrees warmer too, so anyway, that is absolutely the least of our problems.
Well, hey, I was talking with Cody right before you came in. I don't know if you saw it today, but there was this big article that came out today that really what they were talking about on the financial shows about Apple investors calling for action over the iPhone addiction among children.
Was that the New York Times article?
Well, I think it was in the Times.
Yeah.
It was also, and it was in several new, it hit several because it was such a big thing, but they sent an open letter to Apple. These were two of their largest investors.
Yes, I see that.
And, they basically, said that there's a developing consensus around the world, including Silicon Valley, that the potential long-term consequences of the new technologies need to be factored in at the outset, and no company can outsource that responsibility. And basically, this investor controls $2 billion of their stock. So that's a fairly significant investor, right? I mean, that's a pretty substantial investor.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to say that Apple can play a defining role in signaling to the industry that paying special attention to the health and development of the next generation is good business and the right thing to do. But what struck me about the talk about the article was one of the commentators this morning said, you know what? We're the parents in this.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, what they're blaming Apple for is a lack of parental involvement in their children's usage of these phones.
Mm-hmm.
Because Apple only makes the device. Now, to be fair, Facebook, some of these other sites, Instagram, these people who designed these made them to be addictive. They've already come out and said that.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a very addictive thing in your children. Feel like everything revolves around that phone. They pick it up constantly to look at it, to see if they're liked, to see what their friends are doing, to see, you know, what they need to do to stay current with their friends. So there's this letter talks about the negative effects on the mental health and the physical health caused by the heavy usage and social media, not only of the electronics part of it, but also the social media at the mental part. So it says the kids are distracted in classrooms, they can't focus, and they also have higher risk of suicide and depression. So if you think about that in terms of right now, Brad, project that out 30 years. Look at what's changed in our culture in the last 30 years. Remember 30 years ago? Go back. What was that? 1980, the late 80s?
87, 88.
Right. Go back to late 87, late 80s. Think about where we were technology-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no iPhone, right?
We barely had cell phones. I mean, cell phones were...
They were just coming on. They were huge. They were big bricks.
And, Cody, you wouldn't remember that.
And, you know, Sean Parker, I don't know if you remember him. He is the former Facebook president. He said, God only knows what we're doing to our children's brains. Talking about the way they develop this addictive technology. Because, and you know, I remember when my oldest son was playing Mario. You remember the first Mario Brothers Nintendo?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How they made it where you had to go up different levels, but you never could, even when you got up to the highest level, you were always trying to go back and beat your score and get more points and do everything. So there was this addictive nature to that, even then, that now has come into the iPhone with the social media and all that stuff. And I heard one guy talking last night on this program that was really good. He said, you know, the things really haven't changed in our culture. That they seem a lot worse than they are. Because now it's just all out there. We hang everything out through social media. We hang everything out. You know, if something happens, it's immediately known everywhere. But really, the same problems are still...
But only to a certain extent, even there. Because I think a lot of the struggles that I see, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, it's that we are portraying an image that we want people to see.
Yeah.
And that's not reality.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get on Facebook and talk about the failures that I've had,
mm-hmm.
or the failures that my kids have. I only get on to post about the things great they're doing.
Yeah.
And what does that do to other people? You know, it all of a sudden sets this standard that I'm not as good as they are.
Yeah.
Literally just came from a meeting. Guys, longtime friend of mine made a comment about my children. And listen, what parent doesn't like to be complimented about your children? Now, the reality is if they came and spent a weekend with you or 2 weeks with you, you'd be ready to get rid of them.
Yeah.
The reality is, you know, we all struggle. But most people, especially in the church, don't have community, real community. And yet people on social media think they're experiencing community there.
Well, that's the delusion, mm-hmm. is they feel connected through a device, but they're not really connected at all. And, you know, this another Facebook executive said he specifically opted out of all social media. Now think about this. This is a guy mm-hmm. who helped create Facebook. Said he opted out because it was eroding the core foundations of how people behave. He said, I can control my decision, which is I don't use that stuff, and I can control my kids' decisions. I don't allow them to use that stuff, he said, because he said many apps, sites, and devices are being designed today to be as addictive as possible. Why? What does the addiction do? It creates more revenue. It creates mm-hmm. more. I mean, the more you go to a screen, the more you're going to see an ad. Who's paying
images
for that?
Yeah.
It's the companies.
Yeah, it's all about images.
It's the same thing. You know, it's that creating discontentment mm-hmm. that advertisers have always used. That's nothing new, but now it's in your hand every day, and you've got kids who have it, and these kids have traded the parental wisdom, the relative wisdom, I mean, relatives, people in their circle of influence, teachers, coaches, they don't talk to them. You know, if a kid wants to learn a football play now, you know what he does? He goes to YouTube. Hmm. He didn't go talk to a coach. So he doesn't have a filter to run it through. He just goes and learns it on his own. So he doesn't get the benefit of somebody who's actually done it. All he sees is an image or a video of what somebody's doing. And yes, he can learn, but it's limited, what I call limited learning. And again, it's surfacey learning, because think about conversations you have with people that have shared, you know, personal failures and their own struggles. You learn a lot more through a relationship than you do reading about it on Facebook or reading about it somewhere else. So I think we're as the church, we're going to have to address this more and more in leadership to say, hey, you know what? I loved what our the pastor said the other day. He said, listen, before you pick up your phone in 2018, and we're going to talk about that in a minute when we come back after the break of looking forward, before you ever check your Facebook, your news, whatever it is you pick up that phone for, pick up a Bible and read in it first and get God's perspective. Check out God's Facebook post for the day, you know, before you go and check somebody else on earth who has nothing to really offer you spiritually. They just give you some kind of insight into what they want you to see, you know? So I thought that was really insightful.
Yeah, it was very powerful. I mean, you know, what screen are we going to?
Yeah.
Your screen or God's?
Yeah. In fact, when we come back, I'm going to have you read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8. And I want to talk about that because really this week, all we're going to be talking about this week is 2018, looking forward, 2017 in review. As we think about 2017, what are some of the things that happened nationally, locally, you know, and talk about those? And as we go forward into 2018, what are some things that are going to change for us as a result of what happened in 2017? Mm-hmm. If we don't have those conversations, then we just keep repeating the cycle.
Well, I just had lunch with a longtime friend of mine, and we got talking about business, and this guy's been very successful. And he's not college educated. He's got some college education. We were talking about college education, the value of it. And, you know, the reality is, you know, we learn so much from our failures. And either we were talking about either you're a victim of your circumstances or you're an overcomer, you know, and I'm
a survivor.
Survivor. You just, hey, you know, learn from it. Are you thankful? You know, the scripture says be thankful in some things, everything.
Yeah,
because we can trust that God is in control.
Yeah.
Now, are we going to grow? And 2017 has been a growing year for me, Doug.
Well, you think about all the things that happened last year. I mean, think about the thing. You had a chance to go to Israel. You had a chance to go to India. I mean, you had a chance to – I mean, just think about us here doing this radio program. All we've learned from the people we've talked to, the things we've experienced.
Just the discussion over the Word.
Yeah, I mean, we've done this for a year. It's hard to believe, man.
It is.
So
I can't believe you guys would put up with me.
I know, man. Well, I'm excited to be back live, and we got a great program this week. We got Kent Hughes coming in on Thursday, or he's going to be on join us on Thursday. Wrote Disciplines of a Godly Man. You and I have both used
great
that
book.
A lot.
Yeah, great book. Listen, join us this afternoon. We're going to take calls. The rest of the show. Otherwise, if you don't call in, you're going to have to listen to Doug and I the rest of the way. But, man, glad to be back. Join us after the break. What is our phone number? Oh, here it is. 844-777-7928 if you're outside Jacksonville. If you're local, call us at 904-401-1413. Check us out at SWATradio.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Congress is back to work today with the clock ticking toward another deadline. Here's correspondent Linda Kenyon.
Both houses of Congress must get down to the business of funding the federal government, which runs out of money on January 19th. Presently, the federal government is operating on a short-term stopgap funding bill. Congress must decide whether to pass another short-term deal or a long-term funding measure, one that will cover the next year or more. Several sticking points remain, including spending parity for defense and domestic programs, and ending or extending the DACA program, which protects from deportation immigrants brought to this country illegally as children. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
The Department of Homeland Security confirms it is ending special protections for Salvadoran immigrants that will force nearly 200 of them to leave the country or face deportation. Salvadorans will have until September 9th of next year to leave the U.S. or adjust their legal status. One of the president's cabinet members is defending the president's intelligence and mental fitness. Here's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue is denouncing a new book that questions Donald Trump's fitness for office.
All I know is the characterization that he has for the president in his book is not reflective on the man that I've seen, the man I've spoken to, and discussed policy with face-to-face.
Perdue told the Salem Radio Network that the president has street smarts and is focused on the job.
That's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton. Senator Rand Paul says the president challenges conventional thinking and can get to the heart of a complicated issue, such as the sale of health insurance across state lines.
He did that because he's different than any other politician. And now we have all these, you know, wiseacres out there wanting to criticize and be presumptuous about trying to judge someone's intelligence. I can tell you he's got the wherewithal to do things that no politician's been able to do.
Senator Paul appearing on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday. This is SRN News.
On Butler Boulevard going west just after I-95, there's a broken down car in the worst possible place, right in the center lane. On 295's ramp to St. Augustine Road, we're looking at a crash. It's off to the side. And traffic is building on I-10 going away from downtown and around Stockton Street. Partly cloudy and warmer today. We'll see a high of almost 70 degrees. This evening, there's a good chance of rain with an overnight low of 56.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with my good buddy Doug McCary, Cody behind the wheel, and good to be back with you guys. Yeah, excited about 2018. Doug, I mean, yeah, look, I can't believe we've been doing this for a year now.
Yeah, it's
nobody's kicked us off.
No, we still have people listening. You know, I talk to people and they say they listen, so hopefully it's encouraging somebody. You know, as we look back on 17 and think about, like I said, everything from the hurricane that hit here mm-hmm. to the hurricane that hit Puerto Rico to the hurricane that hit
Houston,
to all the things that happened in our culture, to the mission trips we went on, meeting, you know, Kunal mm-hmm. over in India, going to Israel, thinking about, you know, just time in the Word, time in prayer, time around men, doing the SWAT, you know, every man a warrior, all these different things. I was really struck by thinking about Ecclesiastes 3 and a passage in James. Go ahead and look at Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. I just want you to read it, and I want to make a couple of comments, and we can visit that a little bit, and then
Such a great passage.
Well, because here's the thing that I think we forget that, that our time is limited. We don't know how long we have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do we do with the time we have? You know, a lot of times I think we treat our time as less valuable than the money we have, and the time is much more valuable.
Oh, man.
When you stop and think about the time we have, mm-hmm. you can't go back and get time. Mm-hmm. Once it's gone, it's gone. And I was thinking about that. I had breakfast with my sons the other day, and I look back in my life, and I was sharing with them. I was just reflecting on things that I wish I would have done differently, time-wise. Mm-hmm. And I was just sharing honestly with them. It was just really convicting to me to think about. And I thought about this passage. And I thought about the time that we have. I want to make it count mm-hmm. as much as I can. You know, God's obviously sovereign, but you know, we make choices every day with what we do with our time. And I really hope that for 2018, people will think about their time as a valuable resource they have instead of wasting the time they have. Mm-hmm. And I was really challenged by Mohler thinking about reading. Wow. And I got a book about Martin Luther. You know what? Eric Metaxas wrote mm-hmm. that biography. I got a couple other books I'm going to try to read, and I'm going to make a goal. I really want to read two books a month. Now that doesn't sound like a lot, you know, but I read the Bible, And I read some commentaries, but I have not read a lot outside of that, mm-hmm. you know, other than some devotional books. But I'm going to try to start reading some more. And that was one of the things I was struck by is the time, instead of wasting time doing other things.
Well, and I think